Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we come poor in spirit. We come humbly and throw ourselves upon you and your mercy, knowing that there is nothing we can do to attain salvation except through Jesus Christ, who died on that cross. Lord, I pray as we listen to your word just then, that you would open our ears, that you would soften our hearts, and that your Spirit would shape us to be like your Son. Convict us that we may shine like a city on the hill in this life. Amen. Every single person here has a treasure. Every single person here lives for something. Everyone here makes a decision on a daily basis, and those decisions show what they love, what they value, what they desire. I'm not sure if any of you have ever heard or watched the TV show Pawn Stars, P-A-W-N. It's about a family business where the guys, they're looking for great deals, they're looking for great investments. They're looking for what people are hawking. I ended up being clickbaited on Facebook, and I watched a video, but it's very interesting, it's worth it. So there's a guy that's walks in the shop in a sharp suit, and he says that he's trying to get rid of some diamond earrings. The shop clerk, Harrison, he asked the right questions. The guy in the suit gives the right responses. He even had a receipt for the earrings. So the shop clerk, he, instead of verifying the jewelry, instead of getting the expert to come down, he decides, you know what, let's pull the trigger. He handed over $40,000 to get these earrings. That's $59,000. And so it was a done deal. He thought he's a big win. 3 days later, the police rocked up and they informed him that the earrings were stolen, that the criminal was now behind bars. The victim got back the earrings, but unfortunately we can't give you back your money. Well, we can sort of laugh at this instance or be like, oh, that's a bit of a loss. But, you know, so many people get sucked into possibilities of something that are worth much more than we expect. We get sucked into making decisions without clarifying with the experts. People make bad investments, short-term investments that don't last. And we all do this every day. We back ourselves. We back our own decisions. And each and every day, those decisions show our desires. They show our heart. You know, the text we see today is a well-known section, so much so that even I myself, I brush over it. And I've never come back to it to see Jesus' words and how they really convict us. This section is sandwiched between the religious hypocrisy and anxiety that follows. And so it's crucial for us to understand actually what Jesus is saying. He's just spoken against religious people, Sadducees and Pharisees, religious men who look very religious on the outside, but who in their hearts are serving money. They're serving themselves rather than serving an audience of one. The passage we read just previously, it's a diagnostic test for us all. It's a diagnostic of our hearts. For each of us to examine whether we are just the same as those religious hypocrites, or if we do in fact walk the talk. This text exposes us. Do our lives show our ultimate treasure? Where is that treasure? Where is our heart? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your focus? What are your eyes focused on? And by answering all those questions, we can see who or what we are serving. Either we're serving the vertical love of our Lord and our Savior, or we're serving the horizontal love of this world. In the passage today, we see three different contrasts that Jesus uses to escalate and explain what it looks like for us to be God's people, completely and utterly devoted to Him. We see two treasures, we see two visions, and we see two masters. Two treasures, two visions, and two masters. Well, look with me at verse 19. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moths and vermin or rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You have two options, and only two options. You have earth and you have heaven, and the things on earth will not last. But yet for all of us, it's those perishable things that we too often put our hope in. That we say to ourselves, if only I had that, then I'd be all set. In the ancient world, they measured their wealth by precious metals and expensive fabrics. And much like now, people would flaunt it. But instead of investing in the stock market, in mutual funds, in bonds and all that jazz, they would store up their commodities in their homes or bury them in the ground. But Jesus reminds us, he commands us not to store up treasure on earth. There is no security for earthly treasures. Moths would lay their eggs and the larva would eat up and destroy their fancy garments. Vermin or rust would slowly eat away at their treasures. Thieves could break in and steal. As hard as we try, as hard as we want to believe and protect our wealth on this earth, there is no security. Things get older, things are dated, they lose value, they're destroyed, they get replaced, things get stolen, and yet all of us, we pursue them. But no earthly treasures last. As soon as you drive that new car off the lot, it depreciates. You lose 10%, money you're never going to get back. You may have poured all your hard-earned cash into that car, but it's gone in 5 minutes. You could be that guy who slept outside the Apple store to get that iPhone and then happened to open up that box on live TV and drop it on the ground and smash the screen. The world has moved on and developed, but we still track with the same things. We still search for that place to live. We want the closet full of clothes. We want a bank account that we can stash away for savings, for our interest to accrue. Materialism and the image of success has become a disease that we've all been tainted by. And it only exposes the real problem, our want for security, for power, for identity. It shows the void that we try to fill with things, with fake networked relationships. And each of us fall into this trap. And unfortunately, it's a road that leads so many people down a path of delusion, lack of fulfillment, of hollowness. You know, every single one of us yearn for people to acknowledge us or see us, to think that we are capable or we're able. And that's what plays out in our hearts. The question is, how do you spend your time, your thoughts, your talents, your treasures? If you have a good heart, think about that. Is it horizontal? Is your reward in this earth? Are you looking for a reward from the person sitting next to you? The people you work with? A bunch of randoms on the internet? Jesus' main point here, it's not to guilt trip us. He's not trying to guilt trip you for having any of those things. He's not trying to guilt trip you for the new house you just bought, the new car you just bought, for the holiday you just got back from, for going out for a dinner last night. Jesus doesn't want to punish you for having money or for being successful. He's not trying to rip your head off. He just wants your heart. And these are his words of grace to remind us of the treasures in heaven that will last into eternity. His question to us all is logical, and it's about smart investment. The treasures of this world will perish, but treasures in heaven will be eternal. Where you store your treasure, there your heart will be also. Later on in Matthew, as we read in chapter 19, we see the story of the rich young ruler. And he goes to Jesus and he asks him a question, how can I attain eternal life? Jesus gives him the list of the commandments, and the young ruler says, yeah, sweet, I've knocked them all over. I can do all that. What do I still lack? And then Jesus drops the bomb. He says, go, sell what you have, give to the poor and follow me. Where was this young man's heart? You can tell by his reaction if you know the story. But he turns away dismayed. This young ruler is wealthy, supposedly has a lot going for him. But he's not willing to let those things go in order to follow Jesus, in order to attain riches in heaven, eternal life. He's willing to love his neighbor. He's willing to do the things that he needs to do to tick the boxes for his fellow man. But when it comes down to loving the Father and having no gods before him, he's just not willing. Our treasure is stored in heaven. That imperishable treasure is given to us when we throw ourselves on the mercy of God, when we recognize our spiritual poverty, and we entrust ourselves to Jesus Christ who has gone before us. Colin Buchanan says this perfectly. I'm not going to sing it. The greatest treasure in the whole wide world is peace with God. It's the only treasure that will never fade. Even death can't take it away. The reason we can have this treasure is because there was one death and one resurrection for us all. That treasure is something we can never gain by ourselves. And it's a reward so great that we could never ever do anything to gain as much as has been lavished on us on this earth anyway. If you really live your life seeking to please God and to honor God, he will reward you, and that can't perish. In the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, Jack Sparrow has a compass, and it doesn't point north. It points to that person's greatest desire. If you were holding Captain Jack's compass, where would that needle point? What is the thing that you want most, more than anything in the world? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Ask yourself, what is my treasure? And will my treasure perish, or will it go with me until eternity? Well, look with me at verse 22. We see two visions. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? The eye is the lamp of the body. Whatever you focus your life on, your eyes on, your heart on, will permeate your entire being. Jesus is doing two things in this section. He uses a play on words. It's a Semitic metaphor that was particularly meaningful in Jewish culture. But at the same time, he emphasizes the need for the eye to be single-minded and healthy so that we have true focus. So in the original, that play on words, a healthy eye would be translated as a single eye. It was culturally understood that a single eye, a healthy eye, was someone who was open-handed and generous. A bad eye, translated as evil or diseased, was understood as someone who was stingy, envious, grasping, and resentful. The point is that our life is permeated by what we focus on. Either we are completely devoted to our Lord and our Savior, focusing on our heavenly treasures with a body full of light, or our vision is skewed. We're focused on the treasures of this world. We store them up on this world, and our body is full of darkness. But what does he mean for the light in you to be darkness? How great is that darkness? Jesus is saying if your eye is misfocused, if it is obscured, you can't truly be filled with light. You cannot walk that straight path. There are two options, light or darkness. You can't say you see clearly if, in fact, your vision is blurred. What do you focus on? Does God actually have your heart? Do you have 20/20 vision of this word? Or do you have 20/20 vision of the world? Many of us here may be struggling in a blurry world. Many of us here are saying, yeah, I've got a 2020 vision of the word. I come to church. I'm a Christian. You know, we say that we love the gracious riches given to us in Christ. But does our life reflect that? Do our lives show light or do they show darkness? Is your vision focused on the Lord or is it focused on the world? Does your life show a generous wallet? Does it show a generous heart? Are you merciful? Are you gracious? Are you forgiving? Or do you actually find that you give out and you're generous out of your own security? You give the bare minimum, but you are never willing to actually go beyond that amount because it'll pinch you a bit. Are you selfish with your time? Do you put work and money before your relationships here on earth and before God? Is this 2 hours on a Sunday night the only 2 hours you give God at all? Now, heaps of people say, you know, oh, if I had more, I'd give more. If you give me $100 million, I'll give half away. But there's a story of a missionary who was speaking to a new convert, and that missionary asked, Pablo, if you had 100 sheep, would you give 50 of them to the Lord's work? Well, of course, I'd gladly give them, he replies. Pablo, if you had 50 cows, would you give half of them to the Lord's work? Well, of course I'm going to give them to the Lord. Once again, he asked, Pablo, if you had 2 pigs, would you give one of them to the Lord's work? Oh, well, that's not fair. You know I only have 2 pigs. But that's how we think of life. The more we have, we're going to give. Friends, is your life focused on your heavenly treasure? Is your faith most vibrant only today on a Sunday and then wanes during the week? Each of us, we see our true desires, we see our treasures, we see our focus on a Monday night, on a Tuesday morning, on a Thursday afternoon. In those times, would people see you in your life, your character, and know that person's different? They're a child of God. We all struggle with that tension in this world. We live in the now and the not yet, but we must be sure of who we serve. And that's why in verse 24 we see there's 2 masters. No one can serve 2 masters. Either you'll hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus doesn't say you shouldn't. He doesn't say you mustn't. He says you can't. You can't serve 2 masters. And historically, there were cases where there was co-ownership of slaves. But even in these cases, the slaves would play off their masters against each other for their own benefit. Jesus is speaking into that. He's speaking against that. And he is speaking from the perspective of a master. Jesus wants total, complete, and utter ownership. He wants not just a quarter or a half of your attention. He doesn't want just a quarter or a half of your heart. He wants and demands rulership. He wants and demands your desires, your thoughts, your time, and your identity. This isn't an El Paso ad. ¿Por qué no los dos? Does not apply here. You cannot serve 2 masters. You may think you can, but inevitably you will love one and hate the other. You know, in this world of pleasure, treasure you can see and feel, it's something we all struggle with. We pursue the new thing. We put things in front of God all the time. It's not hard to imagine which master ends up winning most of the time. If we are truly gripped by the glorious treasure we have in Jesus Christ, our lives are transformed and we seek to serve him with everything we have. Whatever you own, examine its purpose. Consider your loyalties and see if they are actually building up your own treasures, your self-importance, or if you've relinquished everything to God because he's your sole treasure and desire. Just personally reading through and studying the Sermon on the Mount over the last couple of weeks, My heart's been challenged to really think about this question, to evaluate if my heart is really seeking after myself or after a real vibrant relationship with my Father. You know, in a lot of ways, we all put on masks and faces so people perceive us as spiritual or godly, when in reality, deep in our heart of hearts, in our private lives, we're struggling with fears, temptations, and the desires of the things of the world for the praise of men instead of God. This week, take note of what you are seeking, what you desire, where your time, your thoughts, your money, where are they going? God isn't satisfied with 2 hours on a Sunday night. Theological knowledge doesn't shape how you live. What you love and what you believe shapes how you live. Are you a living contradiction? Do you say you love God's grace, but you're judgmental of others? Do you have an amazing amount of biblical literacy, but have forgotten that that actually transforms your life? Do you, in fact, just love religion? God wants you, and he wants your heart, your whole heart. God is not satisfied with your religiosity, with your biblical literacy. You can do all those things and not be a man or woman of faith. Does your heart steer you in the direction of God? Does he own your thoughts, your emotions, your actions? You know, we have the greatest comfort because even though we continue to fail, Jesus Christ, our Lord, he died on that cross for us. Every time we fail, every single thing in our life, every broken relationship, every stuff up, everything is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. He graciously offers us an imperishable heavenly treasure. And all we need to do is say thank you. Fall on his mercy. We just receive the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that enables us to live graciously, to hold our tongue, to not start honking when someone cuts you off in traffic. It empowers us to live for him and focus our eyes on a heavenly hope. Thomas Cranmer once said this. He said, "What the heart loves, the will chooses, and the mind justifies." What the heart loves, the will chooses, and the mind justifies. Friends, I hope and pray that our treasure is stored in heaven and that our heart is owned by our Lord and that our lives shine like lights in this world where people need to know Jesus. I pray that we are people who stand firm in this world and say, "Christ is enough for me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are a gracious and a merciful God, and you're a just God. Lord, we thank you that you gave us your Son, that he died in our place and covered our iniquities, that he gave us access to you as our Father. Lord, we thank you that you give us your Spirit to empower us so that we may live lives worthy of you. Father, change us, renew us. Enable us to put on that armor each and every day. And Lord, I pray that we would never forget that this is your work. This is your kingdom. Keep our eyes focused on you and our treasures in heaven. Amen.